We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
Listen to what Coach Neil Brown had to say on today's Big 12 Coaches Teleconference. That's coming up right after this.
Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus brings you more than 400 exclusive live events, select conference championship events, coaches press conferences, and original content. Sign up for Big 12 Now on ESPNplus.com/Big12Now.
Appreciate everybody getting on here. We're coming off a disappointing performance, didn't play very well at all. Credit Oklahoma State. They played much more sound football than we did, and therefore they won the game. Looking forward to getting back home this week against Baylor. A lot of respect for that program, what Coach Rule did, turning that around, and then what Coach Aranda continues to do. Team that jumps out on you on film because they play with a toughness, they play with an edge, play extremely hard. Thought they had a really, really good outing in their first game. So with that, I'll answer some questions.
Your first question comes from the line of Tom Bragg of West Virginia Sports Now.
Hi, Neil. Good morning.
Morning, Tom.
So coming off of Oklahoma State last year, you guys were able to close it out pretty strong. I thought Saturday's game, it felt very similar as to how it all played out. Just curious if you saw any similarities in maybe what went wrong this year versus last year and what you can take out of how you guys were able to bounce back last year coming off of that.
Yeah, there were some similarities score-wise and all that kind of stuff. It really was a different game just because last year we limited their run game a lot. You know, Chuba had less than 100. This year they really ran the ball on us and did a nice job, you know, rushing for over 200 yards. The same can be said for us, even though our total rushing doesn't look very long, which is a total fallacy in how people do stats, but that's neither here nor there. You know, we had a bunch of negative plays through sacks, but we ran the ball for 130-plus yards, and that was a big-time improvement from what we did a year ago. The commonalities were that we didn't finish in the red zone. The other difference, too, in this game is we hurt ourselves a bunch. You know, penalties, missed assignments, missed fits in the run game. And Oklahoma State won the game. I'm not taking away from them at all, but we did not play very well.
The other one I have, you know, Big 12's a long known as a quarterback league. A lot of guys that get a lot of deserved praise, but it seems like maybe Charlie Brewer from Baylor goes a little bit under the radar. What have you seen out of him in your time in the league, and just how good is that guy?
Kid wins. I don't know what else you can say is better than that. He's a winner. Comes from a winning family. Granddad was a winner. Dad's a winner. Brother was a winner. You know, it's bred into him. That's as high a compliment as I can give for Charlie.
That's all I got. Thank you.
Yep, thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of John Warner of the Waco Tribune Herald.
Hey, Coach. Of course, all the teams have little different policies on attendance. How strange is it to play before basically no fans or just a few? And West Virginia always has a great fan base. So how strange is that?
Well, it's not ideal. We hope to soon have fans here. Hopefully we'll have an announcement shortly. But we won't have them for the Baylor game. And so the way we approach it is nobody's here watching practice every day, and we still got to compete at a high level, and that's the way we treat the game. But it's not ideal.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Chuck Landon of the Charleston Gazette-Mail.
Hey, Neil, two questions. First one, talk about your relationship with Charlie Brewer a little bit.
Yeah, I coached his brother, Michael, and so we recruited. Michael was the first quarterback we signed at Texas Tech. Tremendous family. And so Charlie was young when I was at Tech, and he and Jared actually both went to camp there at Texas Tech, and so that I haven't really had a relationship with Charlie since he was young, but obviously recruited and Coach Michael, and I just have a lot of respect for that family. Great football family, special people, and I wish Charlie the best. Obviously don't want him to do well this week, but but you know, like somebody else asked me earlier, I mean, he's a winner. He's a big reason why they got that turned at Baylor 2 years ago. And just, I think he's a toughness. I think kind of who he is what that team, you know, his personality's kind of bled into that team.
All right, second question. Give an assessment of what you thought the offensive line, your offensive line play was like.
So, you know, I think that's a good question. So there were some highs and there were several lows. So I think the highs were that I thought Mike Brown and Chase Barrett played really well. We weren't good enough at tackle. We'll look at some ways we can get better there. A lot of it was not ability. It's a lot of footwork and just not having their eyes where they're supposed to be. And that was the first time they'd ever played in a game with that kind of quality people too. So they'll get better. But, you know, we ran the ball much better. I thought Letty played better. We were able to get the ball to the line of scrimmage. All those negative yardage came on pass plays,
right.
Which, again, I don't agree with how those stats are kept, but nobody's asking my opinion on it. But anyway, we got Letty to the line of scrimmage, which was a significant upgrade than what we were last year. We did protect as well. But part of that's on Jarrett, too. Jarrett didn't move the right direction some, and I'm sure I'll get asked. I'll just say this: I thought, you know, we missed some throws, but Jarrett Dagey showed his toughness. You know, and the kid's tough. He stepped into a bunch of throws. He missed some balls. We got to get better, and he'll get better. But I think he showed his team that he's plenty tough, and his preparation will always give him a chance, and he'll be better this week.
Thanks, Neil.
Yep, thanks, Chuck.
Your next question comes from Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports.
So you said, you know, no fans in the stands wasn't ideal. I just wondered what it was particular, just not having that emotional factor there.
You know, Dennis, it's just awkward. Have you been to any games without fans yet?
Yeah, I went to Alabama, Missouri Saturday, so I know what you're talking about.
You know, it's just different. We played our first game with just families here, and it was just different. You know, I don't think the competition on the field is any different. I don't think guys compete any less hard, or there's just the atmosphere. The atmosphere is not here. Some of the things that make college football great: the band, the smell of tailgating, you know, the passion from the fans. You know, we do a man trip here walking into the stadium, you know, where it's usually lined, you know, and you can feel that energy. I think that's the part that people miss. And I hate it for our fan base. We got a passionate fan base here. You know, some of our fans' greatest memories are being right here in Mountaineer Field. And I just feel for those, for our true fans that don't have that can't come to games right now. I hate it for them.
It's like there's something missing. You want it to be better, and you have a job to do, but it's like there's just something missing from the whole scene.
Yep, there is something. There's something missing, but it's better than the alternative, which is not playing at all, Dennis. And that's the way I talk to our fans. That's the way I talk to our team. Like, excuse me.
And your next question comes to the line of Jacob Unruh of the Oklahoman.
Hey, Neil, you're kind of in a unique situation with West Virginia travel-wise. What was different about your traveling to Stillwater and stuff last week?
We just tried to – we didn't let anybody leave the hotel once we got there. And how we did the plane seating, and then we went a few more buses once we got there. That was the biggest difference.
Was it a different plane at all? Because I think the plane kind of flew over, so we're walking out of the stadium. It was pretty big.
No, same size. We just had fewer people on there. We didn't take as many support staff.
Right. Okay. And you've talked about the atmosphere without fans at your game. What did you think of the road atmosphere with limited fans and how that factored into things?
Well, I think at Oklahoma State, it's balled in pretty good, and the sound stays in that all the time. So I thought at times it felt like, you know, a college football game. You know, it really did. You can still yell out at your kids on the field, which is not normal situations. If you have, definitely not there when you have a full fan base. But I thought the fans that were there, they were still beating on the boards and all that kind of stuff. You know, they got loud when it was appropriate.
So there wasn't a loss of home field advantage necessarily.
I didn't think so. You still got to travel. You still know all the ins and outs. I mean, I'd still rather play on the road. I'd rather play at home. I'm sure every coach on here would.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Neil.
Yeah, thank you.
And that was West Virginia coach Neil Brown. Thanks for listening.